Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Developing a vaccine. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I have a picture that I keep on my cell phone, uses my background on my PC in my home office, and have framed in my family picture gallery at my house. The picture is of my dad as a toddler in the early 1940s and his sister, Gertrude Ann, 18 months younger. I never met Gertrude Ann because she died a few days after that picture was taken. She died of croup. When she died, the antibiotics that treat croup did not exist. Because of those antibiotics, croup is now rarely serious. We rarely see polio and other horrible viral illnesses like measles, whooping cough, diphtheria, and tetanus in 2020 because of vaccines. I have met people who had polio as children. The others have had many physical challenges to contend with because of that disease. The polio vaccine didn't exist for them as kids either. I keep the picture of my dad and Gertrude Ann close because I never want to forget that antibiotics and vaccines are little miracles, medications that save lives every single day. I don't want to forget the cost of becoming lax when we don't vaccinate as we should or abuse antibiotics so they don't work as well. Those behaviors cost us lives, like Gertrude Ann, when we take things like antibiotics and vaccines for granted. If there is any good that will come from the COVID pandemic, I think that may be it, a reminder that vaccines are miracles and we should never take them for granted. Unfortunately, developing a vaccine is not like the movies. The experts cannot just take the blood of someone who survived and pull out a vaccine, mass-produce the vaccine in an old factory in town, and distribute it to the at-risk population in a matter of hours. It took Dr. Jonas Salk, the scientist who developed the polio vaccine, nearly 3 years to come up with the right formula for his vaccine. We are much better at that now because of Dr. Salk's research, but it still can take months to years. That is actually one of the reasons why the flu vaccine is not always as effective as we wish it was. The experts at the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, private think tanks, and drug manufacturers have to make educated guesses on what the flu will look like in 2 years, because it takes that long to develop, manufacture, and distribute the vaccine. And sometimes the flu varieties the experts think will be the strains that will appear as flu that year are not the right ones, and the flu vaccine is not very helpful. Fortunately, the virus that causes COVID-19 is not like the flu. There are not millions of different possibilities. So once a vaccine is developed, it will be more like polio, and we will be able to turn this disease from something that has now killed nearly 100,000 people in this country to something that is rare. The process for vaccine development is complicated. First, drug manufacturers, usually in conjunction with the CDC and NIH, have to find a vaccine that works in animal trials. Then they have to go to the Food and Drug Administration and show that evidence, along with how it's manufactured and how they maintain quality during animal testing. The FDA then clears the vaccine for human trials. Human trials are usually done in three phases. Phase 1 trials are done on a very small number of patients who are very closely monitored for any signs of problems, things like the vaccine not working, or people having horrible or fatal side effects or allergic reactions. You may have seen in the news that Moderna has successfully completed phase 1 trials on their coronavirus vaccine. That is a very big deal, but they still have a long way to go to get that vaccine out to the public. Phase 2 trials work on figuring out the right dosages to get the best results. These also involve a much larger number of people. Phase 3 trials are the biggest trials in the numbers of people, and they look for less severe side effects versus effectiveness. Phase 2 and 3 take longer than phase 1 trials because of the numbers of people needed. They have to look at the vaccine in men and women, different ages from kids to the elderly, different races, and different health conditions. Finding those people and then looking at the results can take quite a bit of time. Once all three phases are completed, then the drug has to be produced, which involves licensing and quality control. It's important that every vaccine does what it is supposed to do, and that the packaging is sterile and safe for healthcare workers to administer, and then gotten out to the public. Because it is so important, everyone involved from the CDC to the NIH to the FDA and drug companies are putting every resource they can towards finding a COVID-19 vaccine out to the public as quickly as possible. But that does not mean they can take shortcuts. Shortcutting the process could result in millions of people getting a vaccine that is worse than the disease. Because there are no shortcuts, that means time, probably a year or so. And unfortunately, that means even though we are opening back up, we still have to be smart and try to limit transmission of the COVID-19 virus until the vaccine is available. For that reason, please wear a mask when you are out in public, wash your hands frequently, and social distance as much as possible. Those all buy us the time we need for the miracle of a COVID-19 vaccine to happen. COVID-19 news. By the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 146. Ector County negative, 1,957 out of 2,231 tested, with 128 pending. 4 deaths. Midland County, 123 confirmed cases out of 2,438 tested, 12 deaths. Texas, 52,268 confirmed cases, total Texas deaths, 1,444. U.S. cases, 1,613,324 total confirmed cases, with 96,659 deaths. Find out more online at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Overeaters Anonymous, a 12-step support group, has scheduled Zoom meetings from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mondays and 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays at oa.org. The meetings are free and open to the public. For more information, call 553-1031. Prom graduation. Moore's Limo Service has scheduled Odessa Class of 2020 Prom Graduation Reception Event from 8 p.m. to midnight, June 12th, at Dos Amigos, 4700 Golder Avenue. Sponsorships are available. Donations are also being accepted to help fund the event. To donate, visit tinyurl.com/YCBF9MM. XR. For CDC rules and guidelines and more information, visit tinyurl.com/YCSO4WWS.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, May the 24th, 2020. Section A. Love. Anders' incident should lead to dialogue and training. By Caitlin Randall. CRANDLE at MRT.com. The arrest of 21-year-old Ty Anders last weekend has stirred debate about racial profiling within the Midland Police Department. In an interview with the Reporter-Telegram, former City Councilman John Love III said law enforcement should receive training on why minorities often fear the police and how that fear can affect some situations. Love represented District 2, a predominantly minority district, and where Anders was arrested on May 16th. A video posted on social media showed five Midland police officers pointing guns at Anders while he lay in the grass with his hands behind his back. The city later said in a statement that Anders was charged with evading arrest, a third-degree felony, after allegedly running a stop sign and failing to exit his vehicle when an officer initiated a traffic stop. In dashboard camera footage released Friday night, Anders could be heard saying he was afraid to get out of his car because he believed the arresting officer had been following him. Love said many African Americans are similarly afraid of law enforcement officers. Most African Americans feel this way, he said. They don't want to be pulled over in an isolated situation. They want to be pulled over so that there's some protection, so that if anything goes wrong, they won't be a victim. And I think that the police needed to understand this context instead of just pulling a gun out. Love said interactions with police can end differently depending on one's race, and minorities see these interactions play out through social media and the news media. He pointed to recent Second Amendment rights protests at the state capitol, where attendees openly carried rifles, as an example of these differences. He said African Americans are often afraid to open carry because they believe they'll be perceived as a threat. According to Love, law enforcement should be conscious of and knowledgeable on the history of these distinctions. They need to have that training that there are certain circumstances that they need to be aware of, a contextual history that they need to be aware of, that sometimes we react to because we don't want to be hurt or threatened or shot or end up dead, he said. While Love served on the city council, he tried several times to create a police review board, but did not receive enough support from the other council members. The review board would have had no power over the police department, Love said, but would have consisted of a diverse group of residents who could have reviewed incidents and recommended policy changes. He said a plan for the board was created with the assistance of the city attorney. His efforts to create a review board fell on deaf ears. He said he hoped the publicity surrounding Anders' arrest would lead to a productive dialogue between residents and the police department. Police people make the mistake that if you want to improve the police and if you want to stop any perceived policeman mistreatment or police brutality, that makes you anti-police. And that is not the case. History is not equitable, and that's why citizens are upset, because we continue to be treated differently. And all we want is to be treated like every other citizen. County judge releases court priorities from staff reports. Midland County Judge Terry Johnson released commissioner's court priorities for the next 5 years. A memorandum from the county indicated that a planning session was focused on building consensus around roads, county water, and a tax assistant district. Johnson released a statement Friday afternoon with comments from him and Commissioner Luis Sanchez. The commissioners established a 5-year goal, establishing every road in Midland County C grade or higher. That's 423 miles of roads, according to the release. It is noted in the release that the three-hour planning session was open to the public to ensure maximum transparency. Other priorities identified the need for a long-term water supply for county residents living outside of the city limits. It is imperative that we build the infrastructure to deliver a reliable source of clean water for county residents for the next 40 or 50 years, stated Sanchez in the email. Doing so gives the county opportunities in housing, economic development, and a public safety. A third priority, according to the press release, was the creation of a tax assistance district that Johnson states will pay for these improvements without increasing property taxes. The meeting was another in the partnership between Johnson and former Midland City Councilman John James. The First Chat initiative, a $15,000 texting survey to help determine coronavirus impact on the community. James also led the county's strategic planning workshop and a planning meeting earlier this month.
Obituaries and death notices from the MRT for Sunday. Georgia Faye Daugherty of Kingwood, Texas, formerly of Midland, passed safely into the arms of Jesus on Tuesday, April 14th. She was 88 years old. She was born April 28, 1931, in Jackson, Tennessee, to Catherine and Wilfred Stanfill. On September 30, 1966, she married the love of her life, L.G. Copper Daugherty. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, son, and sister Phyllis, who died as a toddler, and her sister Catherine Job. She is survived by her daughter Rebecca Hyde and fiancé Buddy Myers of Midland, her daughter Faye Wallace of Houston, four grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held June 1st at 11 a.m. in the chapel of First Baptist Church, Midland. The service is open to everyone. James Jim Vernon Humphrey joined our Lord Friday, May 15th. He was born January 7th, 1938, to Carol and Doris Humphrey in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He is survived by his wife, Deanie, a brother, Carol Humphrey of Spicewood, Texas, two daughters, Jamie Humphrey of Silver Spring, Maryland, Lisa Maurer, and husband, Dan, two grandsons and a great-grandson, two stepdaughters. Donations may be made to diabetes associations or the charity of your choice. There will be no services held at this time. Condolences can be directed to Ellis Funeral Home at www.dignitymemorial.com/funeral-homes/midland-tx/ellis-funeral-home. Jill Audrey Davidson, 59 years of age, passed away peacefully at home surrounded by her loving family. After a short battle with cholangiocarcinoma cancer on May 16th, she was born March 16th, 1961, to Philip Earl and Julia Minia Marcellus in Odessa. She is survived by her husband G.W. Davidson, her only child, Mars Horrell, son-in-law, Henry Horrell, two grandchildren, mother, Julia Marcellus, sisters, Joy Dickman and Jody Barnett, spouse, Bubba, Rosie Marcellus, David Davidson, Lonnie and Kay Pace, Mary Field, and many nieces, nephews, extended family, and friends. She is preceded in death by her father, Philip Marcellus, Lee and Mary Davidson, and her grandparents. A memorial service will be held on June 13th at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Cemetery on the Pavilion. All are welcome, as it will be outside, so social distancing will not hinder amount of people. American Heritage is located at 4100 North Farm to Market 1788, Midland. Joe Wendell Carr was born to William Delmer Budd and Willie Beatrice B. Carr on October 14, 1939, in Avery, Texas. Joe leaves behind his wife Raquel, her son Jamie Vigil, and daughter Melissa Vigil, as well as his children, Sammy, Stacy, and Marcy, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Viewing will be available during business hours Friday, May 29th, at Lang Funeral Home, located at 1910 Hutchings Avenue, Ballinger, Texas, and a memorial will be held that afternoon at 4 p.m. in the Lang Funeral Home Chapel. Interment service will be Saturday, May 30th at 11 a.m., Rest Haven Cemetery, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. Barry Hillard officiating. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the local Midland Cancer Support Organization, Gifts of Hope, 2006 West Tennessee. Ruth Arlene Walker Youngberg passed peacefully, surrounded by her family, on Tuesday, May 19th. Born September 9th, 1927, in Denver, Colorado, to the late Harry and Leora LaPointe Walker. She was raised and educated in Ottumwa, Iowa. Ruth is preceded in death by her husband, Robert Bob Youngberg, her parents, brother Richard, sister Doris, and brother-in-law Cliff Schlesinger, and brother-in-law George Celia. She is survived by her daughter Joanne Youngberg of Midland, Jean Hicks and husband Roy of Hancock, Michigan, and Jane Youngberg of Midland, three grandchildren and eight great-grandchildren. The family requests in lieu of flowers that memorials be considered to the music department at St. Luke's United Methodist Church, 3011 Kansas, Midland, Texas, 79701. The family will receive friends for visitation on Monday, May 25th, from 1 to 2 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Graveside services will be Tuesday, May 26th, at 1 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park, with Jan Reed officiating. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Stephen R. Moore, Jr., 37, of Midland, passed away on the 17th of May. A memorial celebration of life will be held on May 27th at 11 a.m. at American Heritage Cemetery under the pavilion. Stephen R. Moore, Jr. was born on May 14th, 1983, to Stephen and Shirley Moore. Stephen is survived by his mother, sister Teresa Emerson, nephews Rylan and Caden Emerson, and his daughter Macy F. Hodge. Stephen is preceded in death by his father. Flowers can be received at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements were under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Thomas E. Rodman, Tom, died peacefully in Austin, Texas on May 21st. He was 89 years old. Tom was born on February 2, 1931, in McCamey, to E.G. and Fay Hummel Rodman, in the midst of the Great Depression. Tom is preceded in death by his parents and two sisters, Jean and Nancy Jane. He is survived by his wife, Nancy Ann, three sons, Robert E. Rodman and wife Lisa Fowler, Thomas E. Rodman, Jr., and Cecily Camilleri, and James A. Rodman and Amy Ram, his brother Earl and his wife Shirley, brother-in-law Robert H. Ritter and Marcella, eight grandchildren and three great-grandchildren, and many nephews and nieces. Donations in Tom's honor can be made to Meteor Crater Friends, 3410 Far West Boulevard, Suite 275, Austin, Texas, 78731. Services will be private, pending a larger celebration of Tom's life in the future. Remembrances may be shared at www.wcfish.com. Arrangements are by Weed Corley Fish Funeral Home, Austin. Brandon Ferris, 37 years old, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, May 19th. No services will be held. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. He is survived by his wife, Billy Payne, two sons, David Payne Ferris and Gary Payne Ferris, his mother, Kim Collier, and by one brother. Faye Daly, 110, of Midland, passed away May 19th. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, memorial service is pending with Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Mary Witcher Malden, 92, of Midland, passed away May 21st. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, memorial service is pending with Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, May 24th, 2020. Section A. Vets Say Day Honors Fallen Heroes by Ruth Campbell. For U.S. Marine Corps veteran Brad Timmons and U.S. Army veteran Domingo Alvarado, Memorial Day demands respect. A former Lance Corporal and squad automatic gunner in an infantry unit, Timmons, who is now the Ector County Hospital District Police Chief, served in Desert Shield and Desert Storm. He was in the Marines for 4 years, arriving in early 1988 and getting out around 1992. Timmons, 54, said he started his law enforcement career in 1994. The Marines looked thrilling to Timmons as a youngster. It may sound really silly, but I actually saw a commercial, and being a young man, I thought it looked really adventurous. I'm not sure I was mature enough to understand that I was going to serve for a higher cause. I didn't really understand that. At my immature age, I saw it as an adventure. At that time in my life, I wasn't ready for college. I was just kind of drifting, and I thought this would be a great thing to do. And to be quite honest with you, the Marine Corps made me grow up literally overnight, Timmons said. It's been a saving grace in my life. He added that he's noticed that youngsters coming up are not always taught what Memorial Day means. He and his wife, Kristen, chief nursing officer at Medical Center Hospital, have 4 children together, and they understand Memorial Day because of his background. It's almost like it's losing ground on actually what Memorial Day is. I think kids growing up should understand what it is because of the importance of it. They need to understand why it's a day, what the day is for, and I've just noticed that my belief is also very highly respectful. It's a very highly respectful day, Timmons said. He added that military service is vital to our way of life, and it's a good chance for young people to gain experience. Timmons said he had no idea he was going to war in the Middle East when he signed up, but he signed up for the Marines, so he went. But I learned very fast that I signed up for this, and it's something I took upon myself, so I had to grow up real fast and understand where I was. But for any young man and any young woman who wants to reach out and do more and serve, it's just a great opportunity. It's a great, great opportunity for your education and to serve. Then when I came home, I started serving my community because I had that instilled in me in the Marine Corps. That's one of their mottos, is you serve others. In law enforcement, Timmons said his military experience helps with leadership. You also learn very quickly the team concept, how to work together to accomplish a goal. You obviously learn that discipline of a rank structure, very similar to what law enforcement is as well, he added. You understand that chain of command. It's almost just natural and secondhand to you coming out of the military. Timmons started his career with the Ector County Sheriff's Office and then moved to the Odessa Police Department. I worked a lot of stuff at the Odessa Police Department, then left there and came to the hospital district to develop a police department. That was pretty much my job, to come in and build and develop a police department with all the legalities. So it took about 2 to 3 years to get that going, and we were established in 2011, Timon said. The department has 15 officers and covers anything the hospital district owns. The department has jurisdiction over any of the hospital district's clinics, the main campus, 5 other clinics, and property. Our job is also to assist other local departments. We've got a very good working relationship with all the departments in this community, and it makes a big difference, Timon said. He added that he worked with OPD Chief Mike Gerke and Sheriff Mike Griffiths. He said they understand each other and have camaraderie. When you pick up the phone and call a fellow police chief or sheriff, it makes a big difference for the community. All agencies here in Ector County work together, Timon said. It really just depends on circumstances. We all know each other very well. We do a lot of training with ECISD, Ector County ISD Police Department, because it's similar policing. It's campus-style policing, so we train with them, and they train with us, so we work with all the agencies. Alvarado served 22 years in the Army, ending up as a staff sergeant. He has served in Germany, Korea, Iraq twice, Fort Hood, Fort Lewis, and Fort Knox. His grandfather was a World War II veteran. Originally, Alvarado said he was just going to serve 4 years and earn money for college. 22 years later, he decided to call it quits. The time went fast. A native of San Bernardino, California, Alvarado, 48, said he considers himself a born-again Texan. He is attending Odessa College and just finished an associate degree in occupational health and environmental technology, and is going for a Bachelor of Applied Arts and Science in occupational health and safety management. Alvarado works as a safety manager for Petroplex Acidizing and takes his classes online. As with Timmons, Alvarado said Memorial Day is in memory of those who did not make it home and made the ultimate sacrifice. He added that people need to know the difference between Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and the 4th of July. I have a couple bracelets that I wear with the name, rank, and what platoons they're in, and we have a flag company that comes down to our neighborhood and puts a flag in front of my house every year, Alvarado said. Through his decades in the Army, Alvarado said the good times outweighed the bad. Some memories seem like they're 1,000 years ago. Some feel like they're just yesterday. There are some things that remind you of those times that seemed so many moons ago, he said. He said the coronavirus pandemic makes for unusual times, but being quarantined at home and social distancing is something Alvarado is used to, especially from being deployed. He and his wife, April, have 2 sons. It's a lot of hurry up and wait, and it keeps you on your toes, which is similar to the situation with coronavirus. It doesn't really bother me much, with the exception of production and our jobs slowing down, Alvarado said. He said OC has been a breath of fresh air for continuing his education, and it wasn't as hard as he thought it would be. Once you're in, it's just a matter of doing your work, Alvarado said. Shipke says, "It's about those who didn't come home," by Sam Waller. As a U.S. Army veteran, Dr. Greg Shipke has an up-close perspective on the meaning of Memorial Day. "If there's anything I can say, it's that most people should remember that Memorial Day is not about the start of summer or the opening of pools, and it's not about me because I came home," Shipke said. Memorial Day is strictly about our brothers and sisters who never came home, remembering them and never forgetting it, and making sure that we never do again what we did in the Vietnam era and not welcome them home. Shipke, Director of Medical Center Hospital's Emergency Department and Medical Director for Odessa Fire Department, served 6 years active duty in the Army. He said the experience still influences how he approaches medicine. "I think the greatest thing that the military teaches you is selfless service," he said. "You do the job and don't expect any accolades for it. You don't get any accolades for it. You do the job you've been trained to do, and that's reward enough." The military does a fantastic job training you. Fortunately, I received some heightened training in trauma, being deployed in combat in Iraq. That certainly helps with civilian applications. Shipke grew up in Buffalo, New York, and earned his undergraduate degree at Canisius before studying medicine at SUNY Buffalo on an Army program. Shipke spent his residency at Fort Hood, where he first connected with another physician who has made Odessa home, Dr. Sudip Bose. "Dr. Shipley is a great friend of mine," Bose said. "We were both chief residents in our military emergency medicine residency program." After medical school, he came from Buffalo, New York. I came from Chicago, and we bonded during our time at Fort Hood, where we went through our emergency medicine training. That was the busiest military emergency department in the world, and I was thankful that we were trained especially well. Shipke said it was easy to draw parallels between military service and civilian medical practice. "I think that the way that I equate that with medicine is that this really is a social compact between America and the military," he said. "America, the idea of the great nation we are, we count on our soldiers to do exactly what they're told and keep us safe. In return, the soldiers expect to be well-trained, well-equipped, well-supported, to leave when the job is done, and then to be supported when they come home. The situation is even more apparent in light of the coronavirus pandemic," Shipke said. "I want all the citizens of Odessa to know that no matter what, whether we've got this incredibly contagious pandemic, we're going to show up for work and we're going to do the job," he said. "Whether that puts us at risk or not is irrelevant. We're going to do the job. In return, the outpouring of support we saw from the community was just amazing. People making 3D printed face shields and homemade masks. I can't tell you how many meals at the hospital that continue to show up. It's a two-way street that really equates the military with what we're seeing right now." Complicating matters is the fact that the pandemic puts many people in the situation of facing what is possibly a life-threatening event just by going to work. "It's a little bit easier for me because I've been there, and that's part of the job. But this is not what a lot of people signed up for," Shipley said. "The way they've rose to the occasion, I couldn't be prouder, especially those folks who are workers not in healthcare. Think about the hospital, the engineers, custodial services, food services, who just came to do their jobs, no questions asked, and were instantly as much at risk as the rest of us. That just makes me really proud for America, really. With many restrictions on public gatherings still in place, the absence of parades and cookouts should make for a more reflective, contemplative Memorial Day," Shipke said. "I think it probably does make you think a little bit more about what it's really all about," he said. "Hopefully some people will take the opportunity to hit up Google and see what Memorial Day is all about and say, wow, thank you to all the men and women who kept this great nation safe since our inception. That's my hope. You're always trying to make lemonade out of lemons, so let's make something positive out of this.
Letter to the editor. Memorial Day needs to be honored. The best way for Americans to fully appreciate their privileges of citizenship would be to pause and contemplate the meaning of Memorial Day. This holiday, celebrated the last Monday in May, honors the memory of every service member who gave the ultimate sacrifice for his or her country. Each citizen should endeavor to give at least a moment of time on that day, if not each day, in remembrance of those who gave their lives that a nation might live. Those words were spoken by President Abraham Lincoln in the brief eulogy delivered at Gettysburg after the conclusion of that epic Civil War battle. In his speech, President Lincoln spoke eloquently of the sacrifices made by the brave men, living and dead, who struggled here. The President, fully cognizant of the monumental sacrifices given by those who dared to wear the uniform of their nation, intended to remind his audience that those soldiers gave the last full measure of devotion for a purpose, that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. The organized commemorations of those soldiers' deeds later became known as Decorations Day. That name was fitting because survivors of the deceased soldiers would go to the cemeteries and decorate the graves of loved ones lost in battle. Since then, thousands of American Marines, soldiers, and sailors of uncommon valor have died on battlefields, in the air, and on the seas throughout the world in the service of their nation. Most recently, our brethren have died in action in Lebanon, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Memorial Day is the one day out of the year dedicated to their memory. A popular slogan of veterans and patriots is, "Freedom is not free." The short statement, like the words of President Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address, speaks volumes about America's gifts of citizenship. Each celebrated right and blessing of liberty exists due to the sacrifices made by fellow Americans over the decades and centuries of the nation's history. On each Memorial Day, all citizens should pay homage to the memory of those lost in battle and remind each other of their bravery. We should teach each child that his and her blessings of freedom were made possible by the willingness of citizens to don the uniform, accomplish their missions, and stand their ground, even to the death if necessary. James M. Rush, Odessa.
Obituaries for Sunday, May 24th. Nancy Marion Kirkendall Ellison. Seguin. Nancy Kirkendall Ellison was born to Marguerite and John Bryce Kirkendall, May 13th, 1929, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She married Fred Ellison Jr. in 1950 in Odessa. Fred died in 2007 and Nancy died May 20th. Graveside rites were officiated by the Reverend Dr. James R. Miles, and she is buried in Fort Stockton. Immediate survivors are son John Frederick and wife Sandra of Lavernia, Texas, three grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. Memorials may be given to the Fort Stockton Public Library. Sue Ann Henderson. Sue Ann Henderson, 58, passed away March 28th at her home. She was born May 27th, 1961 in Dallas to Sarah Helen Hickey Henderson and Sam F. Henderson. She is preceded in death by her mother, Sarah Helen Hickey Henderson, and her grandparents, David C. and Helen V. Hickey and Mildred B. Corville. Survivors include her son, Skyler Wayne Henderson, her father, Sam F. Henderson, and his wife, Helen, sisters, Shannon Henderson, Petropoulos, and husband John, and Rachel Henderson Moody and husband Joshua, as well as a niece and a step-nephew. A memorial to celebrate Sue Ann's life will be scheduled this summer in Odessa to be announced on her Facebook page. Her final committal will be next to her mother in the Hickey family plot in Fort Worth. You can sign the guest book at www.star-telegram.com/obituaries. Death notices. Elizabeth Ann Beth Bishop. Elizabeth Ann Beth Bishop, 66, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 19th. A graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 26th at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery, with Pastor Terry Pugh officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jill Audrey Marcellus Davidson. Jill Audrey Marcellus Davidson, 59, of Midland, died Saturday, May 16th. A memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. June 13th at American Heritage Funeral Home. The service will be at the Outdoor Pavilion. Pauline Jensen Nichols. Pauline Jensen Nichols, 98, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 21st. A celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. Tuesday, May 26th at Northside Baptist Church. Burial will follow Wednesday at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Reverend Clydell Chapman officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Raymond Quintanar, 59, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 19th. A memorial service was held Saturday, May 23rd at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Rosary was recited at noon prior to the memorial service. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Gwen Daphne Daniel, 78, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 21st. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Acidic urine could be a problem. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Tuesday, May 26th. Dear Dr. Roach, in a recent column, a reader was concerned about his enlarged prostate and possible UTI. You wrote that he may possibly benefit from changing the pH of his urine, but you did not specify which way. It implied that acidic urine could be a problem. However, doesn't the drug Hyprex, given for recurring UTIs, help prevent infections by making the urine acidic? Answer. Methenamine, Hyprex, is converted in an acidic environment, a pH below 5.5, to ammonia and formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is not an antibiotic, but does have general bacteria-killing effects. Hyprex also contains two organic acids, hippuric acid and mandelic acid, which help keep the urine pH low so the drug will work. Other physicians prescribe vitamin C in addition to help ensure an acidic urine. So it's not the acidic urine that kills the bacteria with methaminazine. It's that the drug is converted to bacteria-killing formaldehyde in the acidic urine. Most bacteria are relatively resistant to the acidic pH changes that are possible in the urine. Methenamine is not an oft-used treatment, the antibacterial effect of the formaldehyde is weak compared with antibiotics. You are correct that it is most commonly used to prevent infections rather than to treat them. I have given it to women who have had allergies to multiple antibiotics. Sister is jealous of the happy life woman made for herself. Dear Abby, for Tuesday, May 26th. Dear Abby, I recently lost a lot of weight and finally felt confident enough to start dating. I met a wonderful man I'll call Teddy. We've been together for 8 months, and I can see a future with him. He has some quirks with intimacy that he's working on and a few odd habits he is trying to break. I have my own eccentricities as well, but we are doing it together. The problem is my sister. Ever since I started losing weight and trying to improve myself, she has become incredibly jealous. She has taken to making backhanded comments as often as she can. We had a huge fight where we didn't talk for 2 months because she thought I had changed too much. The real reason was I wouldn't let her borrow a super expensive dress of mine. I used to spend every weekend at her house hanging out with her. I would do her grocery shopping, lend her anything she wanted, and defer to her because I was lonely. But now I spend most weekends with Teddy, generally enjoying my life. She seems bitter that I no longer let her walk over me like a doormat. She keeps saying I should break up with Teddy so I can prioritize her again, and she tries to start fights between Teddy and me. Abby, my sister is married and has a kid. She doesn't need me around, so she won't be lonely. I don't want to cut her off because I love my nephew and would like to be a part of his life. I also don't want to have to choose between my family and having a life that doesn't revolve around them. Please help me. Changing my life. Dear Changing, if your description is accurate, you exist in your sister's universe only to fulfill her needs. That she would attempt to sabotage your relationship with Teddy is shameful. It should not be necessary to choose between Teddy and your family. What you must do is establish firm boundaries with her, enforce them, and not knuckle under the pressure she is exerting. Dear Abby, I found $17 in the pocket of an old coat. Great feeling. It felt like free money. And used it to buy myself some fast food. My fiancé is upset, which I think is uncalled for, that I didn't get her anything. That restaurant is expensive, and it's hard to buy two meals for that price. Plus, it was my money. I think I should be allowed to spend money I find, especially since it was in my coat. Unfortunately, she didn't get any dinner that night. It has been about a week now, and she's still upset with me about it. I never get anything for myself, and I feel I deserved a treat. When I told her that night if she wanted dinner, she should have looked for her own $17 in a coat. She threw my Xbox controller at me. It missed. It hit the wall and broke. Now I have to search through all my pockets because those controllers cost a lot more than $17. Quarantined in Indiana. Dear Quarantined, and your question is, this is how you treat your fiancé? The least you could have done was get her a side of fries to eat with whatever was in the fridge as a main course. If you and this girl are still together, it's time for some serious apologies. On the plus side, now that the Xbox is history, you will have more time to work on your relationship. Horoscopes for Tuesday, May 26th. Happy birthday for Tuesday, May 26th, 2020. Complex and individualistic, you honorably support a cause this year, rising to a position of power within a prestigious organization. Your fierce moral code impels you to succeed in your own personal projects as well. If single, you choose to keep your feelings to yourself. So there is dating, but no one serious. If attached, you and your partner withdraw from the world and are perfectly content. Scorpio loves being alone with you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 4 stars. You will have a visitor or some other activity around the house. Family members express ideas that can take a little getting used to. You might live part of the time in another residence or try to make home improvements. Tonight, loving support from others. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Today finds you exploring ideas. Sift through information to clear up confusion. You will make the right choices. Your charm and popularity are on the rise. Relationships strengthen. Others develop a deeper fondness for you. Tonight, you have a good talk with a sibling or neighbor. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. You will think about security and stability today. Purchase supplies for work and projects. You find artsy items you make or build a source of pleasure and profit. You are able to use these traits to transmute negatives into positives. Tonight, relax. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 5 stars. Today is the start of a tremendous growth and opportunity cycle. Your standard of living is about to improve. Be alert to opportunities for promotion. Believe in yourself and try new projects. You see ideas and potential. Tonight, exactly as you want. Celebrate. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 4 stars. Relax near water to calm the psyche and feel inspired. Friends think of you and trust you with their confidences. You will love peace and privacy. Research and preparation completed now will prepare you for the future. Tonight, you comfort a friend in need. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 5 stars. Today brings praise and appreciation from a colleague. Valuable contacts with others are a catalyst for improvements. Older friends suggest ways to reach a goal. You will be very emotional about the meaning of group affiliations and loyalty. Tonight, at home, make it easy. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 4 stars. Reputation and image are important today. You will want to shine and make a good impression. Do your best and be patient. Pull back if you sense others hinting that you are too forceful. You might have a significant psychic experience. Tonight, return calls first. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 4 stars. Experiences today are rewarding. You are in the mood for adventure. A virtual journey to a new destination or enrollment in a convention or seminar would give you new ideas. There could be an urge to link up with different friends. Tonight, slow down. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 3 stars. You make wise decisions related to financial planning today. In regard to your personal life, listen carefully to what a loved one is saying before expressing your own intense feelings. This person's feedback helps you plan the direction of the relationship with ease and grace. Tonight, relax. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 3 stars. Partners are changing plans and you can be swept along. As partners change plans, they include you in the whirlwind of activity. Be polite, but firmly stand your ground. This keeps you out of a commitment that could be too confining. Tonight, date night. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. Colleagues are more appreciative and considerate today. Get enough rest and arrange an efficient schedule. You make the right choices and progressive concepts are attractive to you. Pets help you feel more relaxed and provide comic relief from responsibility. Tonight, Someone is thinking of you. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 4 stars. Artistic projects progress well. You correct old misunderstandings with loved ones. Love is idealistic and you admire someone from afar, indulging in calls and texts to cultivate the relationship. Intellectual admiration is definitely a part of the intimacy. Tonight, add more fun to the moment. Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.